5 winters ago, Clinton, who was then my husband, who was then my boyfriend, tossed me this cute little Christmas decoration, these nesting toys. They're some of my favorite. They're so clever. And right there on the middle tree was an engagement ring. I'd been eyeing the decoration, but I was too cheap to buy it, so it was cute that he put it there. And it was significant on many levels. One, because it was an invitation to life together, but significant for me because 5 years earlier, I had experienced a painful, broken engagement. It was a rejection so devastating, it was hard to imagine a future or feel a recovery. 5 years later, there it was. Into a similar situation of dejection and desperation, Isaiah brings these words of the Lord to the Israelites. For the Israelites, the unthinkable had happened. They were not only defeated and devastated as a nation, but they were carried off into exile, left without hope or promise. They had to be wondering, maybe like I was, is God real? And if God is real, has God forgotten us? Have we lost favor? Into that context, these great words of hope come from the prophet Isaiah. Leadership, like anything that we've seen in our world, a faithful servant, not a conqueror, not a vengeful tyrant who will pay back the nations for their despair, but a gentle, faithful servant bringing forth justice. If you read through those characteristics of the servant in Isaiah, they are absolutely beautiful. He won't raise his voice. He won't snuff out a smoldering wick or break off a bruised reed, but faithfully will bring forth gentle justice. Opening the eyes of the blind, healing the lame, and setting the captives free. It is a great word of hope and promise. And it's amazing that the leadership of the sovereign God is so humble, coming with gentleness. Likewise, in our Matthew passage, Jesus enters the scene in humility, coming himself to be baptized. I have to admit, I've always scratched my head. Wait, why does Jesus need to be baptized? I know I need to be baptized. I know I need cleansing and filling of the Spirit, but Jesus? It was a good reminder for me to read this passage and to study because Augustine, one of the early church fathers, cleared up some of my confusion. He says, in humility, Jesus came as an infant and was laid in a manger, not because he had to. In humility, Jesus faced the cross, not because he had to. And in a similar fashion, Jesus comes to be baptized, not because he needs it or because he has to, but to model for us an example of humility. The washing, the cleansing, and the infilling of the Spirit. Hear those words again today of Jesus' baptism. The heavens are opened, the Spirit is visible in a dove, and the words are spoken over Jesus. This is my beloved select Son, with whom I am deeply pleased. Today, I hope that we will remember that baptism, because the baptism of Jesus is the baptism that we are invited into. It's easy to imagine Jesus and those words, the heavens being opened and those words floating, this is my beloved. But can you, will you, place yourself in that scene? Your baptism, the heavens open, the Spirit is visible, and the voice speaks over you, all of us. This is my beloved, select daughter, select son, with whom I am deeply pleased. That's the truth. That's our true identity. It's easy in the 6 days between Sundays to forget who we are. But today we gather to remind ourselves and to remind one another of our true identity. Yes, we are the beloved. There's lots of kinds of mistaken identity. There's a mistaken identity where we allow others to put labels on ourselves that we believe that aren't true. There's the kind of mistaken identity where you believe untruths about yourself in your head and your heart. Sometimes they're the same. The ones that gurgle up for me are not very worthy, not very valuable. I'm not sure what yours are, but the truth is that we are the beloved. As I reflected on this case of mistaken identity that we often have, I found two movie clips. Film is a great place for theology, I think. One of my favorite genres is kids' movies, and I watched a clip of the movie Tangled, which is Disney's version of that old story Rapunzel, the girl with the magic long hair. Rapunzel in this Tangled movie by Disney is stolen at birth, and she's held captive by a manipulative witch. And soon the lie is uncovered. And not long after the lie is uncovered, she confronts her captor. And I love this stinging line that she says. She says, "You were wrong about the world, and you were wrong about me." When I read the news, I think the world has gone crazy. And I would like to say to the world, "You are wrong about the world, and you are wrong about us. We are a congregation of the beloved, and we are holding fast to the King who has unleashed his reign and his rule in our world. It is coming, it has already come, and it is still coming. And we live in our belovedness, helping to bring it about." That is our true identity. What labels did you come in with this morning that others have placed on you? Today, remember the baptism of Christ, the baptism that we were baptized into. You are the lost prince, the lost princess. Come home to the King. Take your rightful place as the beloved in this congregation of belovedness, in the embrace of Christ and the embrace of his body. The other kind of mistaken identity is just as tough. When you believe lies about yourself in your own head and heart. This clip I'll have us watch, it's from Les Miserables. Jean Valjean, newly released from prison, is taken in on a cold night by a kind priest from whom he steals in the night. But on being caught, rather than condemn him, the priest rightly reminds him of who he is truly, not a thief, but a child of God. Watch.
Is anybody there? So we'll use wooden spoons. I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
You caught him.
But I had my eye on this man.
Oh, thank God. I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
Don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I've bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
We too have been ransomed from fear and hatred at a great price. The world has gone crazy, but we are not crazy. We are not ruled by fear and hatred. In fact, we are new creations, new men, new women, God's workmanship, as Paul calls us, his masterpiece, his magnum opus. What are you believing about yourself that isn't true? That God has forgotten you? That you're beyond saving or beyond repair? Jesus comes to resolve the identity crisis for us corporately and personally. In the baptism of Jesus, Jesus models for us the cleansing and the infilling of his Spirit. The world would define us by a myriad of titles: red and blue, left and right and wrong, by how much you have or how much you don't have, by what you work or don't work, by where you live or where you don't live. These are all things that define us by what we do. But the title that God gives us is not a doing title. It's a relational title, beloved. It's a title that defines us by the one to whom we belong, beloved. The most often used analogy in the New Testament for the congregation of the beloved is family. As beloved to God, we belong not only to God, but we belong to one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We baptize with water. As a drip, it's pretty humble. But combined with lots of drips, it's a powerful force. Water can clean rock and sediment in the earth clean away. Given enough time, water can cut through the earth just like a knife cuts through meat and give us such wonders as the Grand Canyon. This simple, humble force. It's a fitting symbol of our baptism and the Spirit at work in us, moving away the hard places of our actions and our intentions, washing and restoring us to the image of God that we are created in, the beloved. Are there hard places in your heart that need the water of the Spirit? Probably. Are there hard places among us in our fellowship? Most likely. Clinton and I have family meetings periodically, and we tell our kids, there's not a lot in our culture that's going to push us together. In fact, most everything in our culture is designed to pull us apart. And so we have to honor our commitments to have each other's backs. Of course, we're going to have difficulty. Family is hard work. But we honor our commitments by having the conversations sometimes that are hard and speaking the truth with grace and patience. These drips, they're a powerful force. And I say, let the water of our baptism have its way in our hearts and in our fellowship. The spirit of our baptism is not one and done. It's a constant drip. Water is such a daily part of our existence. This week, as you wash, as you brush, as you shower and bathe, as you drink, remember the water of your baptism. Remember our true identity as beloved and a congregation of beloved brothers and sisters. Live into who you are. It's not easy, but that's the calling. And as easy as it is for us to forget between the 6 days and between Sundays, imagine the difficulty for others who have no knowledge of their true identity. Jesus was certain beyond a shadow of a doubt of his belovedness. And out of his belovedness, he stepped out to minister. That's the invitation. Live into your belovedness and who you are, and then step out and share that. Be a reminder. Be an invitation to others to who they truly are. An invitation into the embrace and into the body of brothers and sisters. Let me pray.